Hello and welcome to this episode of podcast, everyone. Today I have Michelle Norcross with us. Michelle is a highly influential and well-regarded executive in CX space with extensive experience in customer experience, strategic leadership, and contact center operation. She currently leads a large CX team for a big financial institution across multiple North American and global locations. Michelle has a proven track record of driving operational excellence. She's known for her strategic vision, and I'm so excited to have Michelle on the call with us today because we'll be learning so much about training, quality, technological enablement, and in fact, BPO management. With that said, Michelle, I'm so happy to have you here. Welcome to the episode of this podcast.
Thank you so much, Manu, and I really appreciate your time today and the opportunity to talk with your audience. You're way too kind, but I hope I have something of value to offer your audience today.
Thank you so much, Michelle. So without further ado, let's start with our first question. And, you know, a lot of our audience have sent this question to us in the past as well, and we have seen that people are actually wondering, how is hybrid models shifting contact centers right now? Like, contact centers are going remote or hybrid. What are some big challenges you have seen in training and developing agents effectively with this new model?
Well, actually, I think the shift happened, at least for most organizations, much faster than they anticipated. And for me, the challenge that I've seen most frequently is that most organizations just defaulted to using the traditional in-person approaches, like, you know, meetings, training, or team building, and fitting them into virtual platforms like Teams. And instead of actually stepping back and saying, how do we actually need to rethink this engagement and how we work with people in a remote world, they just tried to replicate what worked in an on-site environment. And, you know, I'll be honest and tell you that when the pandemic hit and the organization I was working with, we didn't have time to think any other way. We were a fully on-site location at the time. And within days, we had to go fully remote. And we fell victim really to the same kind of thinking. And it really created some serious pitfalls for the organization.
That's actually very true. And this is exactly what we keep hearing, Michelle, that one of the key problems was that people pivoted to work from home or hybrid model without actually thinking, well, how do we redesign the processes we have currently implemented in an on-site model to suit these hybrid workers better? And go ahead, please.
I was just going to say, when you're sitting in a classroom on site with people, there's a different kind of engagement that happens than when you're sitting in front of a screen for 8 hours a day. And many training programs last for weeks. Where I was, our training was 6 weeks long, and we really started to see engagement drop off, missed opportunities for connection, people struggling with their camera, not wanting to have their camera on. And we just really saw challenges in keeping the team fully engaged in that, you know, with a PowerPoint on Teams 8 hours a day for 6 weeks. It just wasn't successful.
Yeah. And when you think about it, I was just thinking about this and was able to correlate it with something that we are seeing a lot in industry. And that is when we use QL to do a lot of training gap or post-training analysis, we are seeing that even though the training agenda has these topics covered, when agents are on the floor, there is a clear knowledge gap in what they know. So It's not just about training agenda, but about engagement. You are absolutely right. That just lit the light bulb for me that it doesn't matter if training agenda already has these things, but were they engaged when these things were being taught?
Yes. Exactly right. And you could, I mean, sometimes you can tell that the person isn't engaged. Other times they get really good at faking it, and you don't see the kind of things that you see when you're walking around. So you have to find other ways to ensure that they're engaged and assimilating the information that you're sharing in a meaningful way.
Thank you, Michelle. That's a very key point. Now, when you think about it more, how can an organization design training programs that balance this flexibility with consistency and ensures agents actually get the right knowledge and skills that they need?
Well, I think the key point that you just made is there has to be a very solid balance between flexibility and consistency. You know, the key is shifting from a one size fits all to more of a learning journey approach. And instead of thinking about things like everyone needs to sit through this 3-hour training on Tuesday at 9 a.m., we need to start thinking about how we design programs that layer consistent core content, things that everyone absolutely needs to know, with other flexible just-in-time learning moments, so we can meet people where they are and really keep them engaged. So shifting back and forth between different types of engagement and different tools. So some key ways that I've thought about and that I've heard from others that have been able to make it work is if you make sure the essentials, you know, things like the brand voice, compliance, core processes that everyone needs to know, are delivered in a consistent, high quality way, ideally through engaging bite-sized content. So using breakout rooms and using knowledge checks throughout and making sure that the people on the other side of the screen have their hands on keys and are actually actively engaging in the material. And then use more role-based or stage-based learning paths, like tailoring content to an agent's specific role, their experience level, or their current performance. That way, that material stays relevant and it isn't so overwhelming all at one time.
Yes, if you design a training program to be 6 weeks, as you said, and not quantify for, or not drive towards a very engaging session, then you're gonna have knowledge gaps. You're absolutely right. If you make sure that the content is bite-sized, in fact, this is one of the things that we did in QWell, where we pivoted to micro learning for agents, 1 or 2 minutes basically, where agent quickly sees, hey, QWell will tell them after analyzing 100% of their conversation that, hey, these are some key opportunity. Agent gets served a micro learning of 2 minutes, learns it, and then moves on. So now they've self-served themselves while understanding what they can do better. And that fits exactly what you are seeing, Michelle, that instead of trying to teach it all, let's focus on bite-sized content. And I think I am one of those guys, right? I lose attention so quickly, Michelle. If somebody were to train me for 1 hour, trust me, I wouldn't remember anything. But if they were to just make it engaging enough and say that, here is 5 minutes video, learn from it, and then come to the session tomorrow, that is half an hour, I think that will go much, much better. So thank you.
That definitely does.
Yes.
And if you use that data, I mean, after we're listening to their calls, we're identifying where they have opportunities, and you're tailoring those micro learnings to specific areas of opportunity, and it's more real time, they're going to understand it better. They're going to be able to relate it to specifically, I remember that call, I remember that email, this is what I could have done differently. And if they can do that micro learning in quick bursts of time and then come back and relate what they learned and apply what they learned in, like you said, a 30-minute session a day or two later, then they're actually taking action on it on their own, and it's relevant and relatable to their specific experience.
Yes, and now you have customized, and we all hate it, right? Imagine this, you send an email to support teams and they reply with it, that generic email, right? We all hate it. We would want things customized to
us.
And now we are doing that for agents and they are able to relate well. Michelle, that's perfect actually. And that's a perfect segue into my next question. What role does ongoing coaching and practice actually play, such as role playing, difficult customer interaction, or role playing to improve agent performance and confidence? Do you think these are important exercises to have?
I think they're essential, critical exercises to have. I have seen so many trainings, and I've sat in trainings where you sit and somebody just talks at you for extended periods of time, or you read material, et cetera. And I'll be honest, I think 9 out of 10 agents, when you ask them to role play with you, they hate it. They're happy to have a conversation about the topic or about the scenario that you're talking about, but they don't want to actually practice. But that practice is what allows them to, for lack of a better term, get muscle memory on how to actually handle this situation. And in the environment that I'm in right now, they have very complex situations to handle. They're very, you know, complex scenarios where someone is upset about something that's happened on one of their financial accounts, and there are multiple different things that could have driven that outcome. And if they're not practicing those things, if they're not, you know, doing regular exercises where they're asked to leverage their material, use their systems, engage in that conversation and think through the types of questions that they need to ask the customer to get to the root cause, it'll never become routine and comfortable for them. So I think the coaching and role playing are essential components to an effective training program. And it can't just be once. It has to be ongoing and consistent throughout their journey and their career.
That's so true, Michelle. And specifically the part where you said that it has to be ongoing, because this is one thing that we got to experience. I have a first-hand experience of integrating with a partner called SimTrain. So when QL and SimTrain started working together, now agents were getting simulation of different difficult conversations. And for one of our customers, I remember very clearly, there was an empathy challenge. The problem was, these were the customers who were frustrated because something bad happened. They were giving a first notice of loss. And the agent just weren't empathetic enough. But the moment we went back and started giving them these AI simulation-based role play, and they could actually understand what was happening. Like, we built this simulation where the customer is saying, "Do you understand my house just burned down? And you are asking me these 16 questions. And now when agent yes. was able to empathize, because he saw that, you know, this is exactly what's happening with everybody who's calling me. These real world role plays of difficult conversations and serving those to the agents in real time based on their feedback actually helped us improve CX so drastically that there was a day and night difference between before and after. And that goes into exactly what you have been saying, that you have to ensure role plays are there, because you can practice all you want, people can teach you all you want for hours, but unless you experience it, you will not be able to understand yes. the difference. Yeah.
As I was preparing for this conversation and doing some research, I read a quote, and I don't remember the exact quote, but basically what they were saying is that the role play closes the gap between knowing something and actually doing something.
Yes.
And it's one thing to be able to know material and recite it and check off the boxes, but actually knowing how to put it in practice and do something with it. And to your point about empathy, and I'm in the same situation. When you're in a financial institution, there are a lot of compliance and regulatory questions that we are required to ask every customer. And it honestly, it's frustrating for the customer. They don't want to answer a million questions. They want to know where their money is, what happened to their money. And so it's so critical to put yourself in their shoes and to be able to do that, not just know that you should, but to actually do that and empathize with the customer so they truly understand or feel that you understand what they're going through, not just that you know it, but that you understand it and that it matters to you to fix it for them. So practicing closing that gap between knowing and doing is absolutely critical, because it makes the difference between what feels like a robotic call and a true human connection with the person on the other end of the phone.
Absolutely. And I think we have been discussing this for a while, but my next question is very relevant to, the conversation today. And my question is basically, now that we understand there are so many things that can be done better when it comes to setting up a training program or understanding what agents need, how can AI and data analytics be leveraged to personalize these training sessions or provide, actionable feedback to agents and managers?
So honestly, I think it's amazing. I would say a year and a half ago, I would have said AI is scary. This is too complicated. It can't really understand. And now I'm in an environment where honestly, I use AI almost every day. Where I think it gets really exciting and because we can use information in real time to help people where they are in this moment in time with an actual scenario that, I mean, I've been in call centers and customer experience a long time, and the standard forever, honestly, until AI came on the scene was you have a staff of quality analysts. They listen to X number of calls per agent per month or evaluate emails per agent per month. And if you do the math on that, in almost every contact center I've worked in, it's something like 0.01% of the interactions that they have. So what's the likelihood that you're going to catch a scenario that really gives you an opportunity? But with AI, you now have the ability to listen to every conversation and to quickly and immediately give them input. And it's an absolute game changer when it comes to personalizing for those individuals where they have opportunities and how they can develop their own conversations to excel and really deliver a true positive, memorable experience for the customer that recovers them back to the brand.
Absolutely. And you're so right. I remember when you were saying this, Michelle, I actually went back to my days of being an agent. I remember being an agent a long time back, and my supervisor will come to me and he'd be like, "Hey, Manu, on this one call last Wednesday, you didn't do this correctly." And
Yes,
I'll be like,
yes.
"Seriously, one call last Wednesday? I might have taken at least 300 calls after that." And
Yes.
it felt so personal, even though it shouldn't have to, because somebody was telling me how bad I am because of one call. And now that we built QL to be able to listen to 100% conversations, if you wanted to, and be able to read
True.
customers, I realized if I had something like that, where an engine accurately analyzed conversations for me, told me what I did right, what are some things I need to do better, and then gave me examples of how to do this better as well, it would have been a game changer. Because right now, imagine he's coming back to me from last Wednesday and saying, "I did this wrong. I've taken 300 calls since then, and chances are I did this wrong on all 300 of them as well." It will
Yeah,
get.
and the excuse back then was I don't have time to listen to enough calls to focus on what you did right. I need to just correct the things you did wrong because that's what's most important. But with AI and listening to either 100% or regardless, a much higher percentage of the total interactions, you can balance that feedback now. You can give them just-in-time feedback on this was a perfect example of empathy on this call. Listen to what they said. Listen to what you said. Let's focus on doing that on all of your calls. So you can balance it and it doesn't feel so much like you're nitpicking and just picking one or two calls out of the whole body of work that you do over a period of weeks or months and just picking them apart. Instead, you're looking at everything that you do and saying, here's what you do really well. Let's emphasize that on all of your calls. And here's where you have opportunities where you could have leveraged those skills. So and I also thought about it also gives you just-in-time nudges to think about where, if I'm only meeting with my supervisor once a week or once every 2 weeks and talking about two or three calls, what's the likelihood I'm going to be consistently thinking about that or remembering that. Whereas if I can, I mean, even daily now, you could give positive nudges on a daily basis that are really motivating instead of just picking things apart.
Absolutely. You said something we are so passionate about, Michelle. When you think about being able to deliver feedback in near real time with exactly what you need to do well, being able to celebrate people every day if you wanted. And say, hey, this is exactly what you did so well. And one very big thing that maybe it felt very alien to me, when you said, told someone, hey, you need to empathize better. The example you gave was perfect, where you said, hey, here on this call, you did very well when it comes to empathy. And now suddenly empathy doesn't feel that alien because I know I can do it.
Yes.
I did this in the call and now I just have to do it again. How amazing is that? As opposed to just saying, hey, do better empathy and here are five training sessions that you can go through. Absolutely, Michelle. That's perfect.
It makes the feedback actionable instead of overwhelming. All at one time, you sit me down and tell me everything that I need to do better. Now I'm giving you, back to training, bite-sized, actionable pieces of information that says, here are things that you do really well that you need to keep doing. Here's some opportunities. Here's where you can leverage some of those things that we already told you about. It makes it consumable and actionable for the individual rather than, you know, just some foreign concept.
Yeah, and that's one thing that you will make sure that agents are not overwhelmed, or managers actually, not just agents.
Yes.
One of the key problems we face is once we start analyzing conversations, we analyze them so much and just throw data at agents and supervisors, right? Or managers.
Yes.
And now they are buried under this mounds of data and you expect them to be analysts. And that's where QL does exactly what you were saying. It makes the information bite-sized, gives them exactly what they need to do best, like next best action, next thing that they should do. And also tells them, hey, if you do this well, here is some training that will teach you. But if you learn and do this well, you will actually improve on X, Y, and Z.
Yes.
As an agent, I know, hey, I want to meet my monthly quotas, right? I want to earn incentive. I want to do better with customers as well. And here is a piece of technology that's telling me exactly how to and what's in it for me. And we have seen so many agents tell us, this is the best way of getting feedback. It's not confrontational. It tells me what I need to know, but it tells me in a way that I can understand, and it tells me how to do it better.
And it's not subjective or personal. Exactly. You eliminate the whole conversation about my supervisor doesn't like me. My supervisor, you know, my supervisor likes this person better than me. You eliminate all of that subjectivity, and it's very specific, actionable, and not, you know, it's not subjective. It's not a person judging you. It's, and what you said there, I thought was really important, because many years ago, I was doing a lot of customer survey feedback, and the data analysts that worked on our CSAT scores, we compared them to our quality scores, and they would come back to us and they would say, if you could get your empathy scores of your agents to improve by X, that would improve your CSAT by Y. And what you just said is exactly what AI can do for an individual agent. If you really align it specifically with their goal, their goals and the metrics that they're measured on, and you can tell them, and I'm confident this can be done today. In fact, I've seen it done. And you can say, if you focus on this and you can improve your empathy scores by Y, your bonus is going to increase by Z, or your performance evaluation will improve here. How motivating is that? If you know exactly all I have to do is these three things that, to your point, I know I can do because they pointed it out, I've done it. I just need to do it more consistently. And now my evaluation is going to be better. Now I might be eligible for that opportunity that I wasn't eligible for in the past. Now my merit increase might be better, or I might get a better incentive payout. All of those things become very specific to, if I can improve these things, this is how it's going to benefit me.
Exactly. And I think When you sum it all up, you realize that you are just engaging agents better by ensuring that they know exactly what they need to do. At the same time, give them the tools to succeed. And, you know, thinking about that, it's obvious that employee engagement is very critical. What are some innovative approaches that you have found effective in keeping remote and hybrid contact center agent motivated and connected all the time?
I think really it's just, and I talked about this with some other people. That piece is really not rocket science. It's really about remembering that I've got people all over the place and remembering that they all have a different style of learning, a different way of receiving feedback and customizing things to meet them where they are. And I think, you know, we need to, AI is not a replacement for people. It's an enabler for people. I think it will enable our supervisors and our managers to understand the strengths of our agents and the opportunities more succinctly and more specifically, so they can tailor their conversations with people, whether on site or remote. They can tailor their conversations with them more specifically. I think we can look at ways to, I mean, do I engage with them through knowledge checks, role play scenarios? And those don't have to be with the manager role playing with the person. You can create AI role play scenarios specific to the opportunities and areas where you want to grow skills in specific people. I can't think of others right off the top of my head, but what amazes me is the opportunity is so endless. I think we've just scratched the surface of what AI can do, especially in the contact center. And if we just stop, get off the hamster wheel. I've been saying that so much in the last few months with my team. Get off the hamster wheel. Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different outcome isn't going to get you a different result. It's the definition of insanity. Let's take a step back and really look at what kind of opportunities AI is opening up for us and think about how we can tailor it to the person who learns best by doing, the person who learns best by reading, the person who learns best by in a team environment versus one-on-one, and really leverage those differences among people to build training scenarios and coaching opportunities that really capture the moment and give actionable feedback.
That's very well said, Michelle, and I'm so happy today because our listeners will be able to understand so much about training and how they can take information that is available to you and your insights specifically around breaking things down into bite-sized chunk, adapting AI to ensure you are tightening those processes and learning from those processes, right? And for our listener who want to dive deeper into AI power training and quality evolution evaluation, you can always join us on this podcast. You can always come back and see what we are doing with QL at qlpro.com. Michelle, if people wanted to connect with you, where can they find you and know more about CX and have conversations?
Well, I'm on LinkedIn. I have a profile on LinkedIn. So if you search for Michelle Norcross on LinkedIn, you will find me. I'm in the Cincinnati area. You can connect with me on LinkedIn and I would be happy to connect with you and talk with you about any questions that you have, and learn from others as well in your audience, because I'm sure there are a lot of people out there using AI in ways I've never even begun to think of, and I'd love to hear about those opportunities.
Thanks again, Michelle, for sharing your expertise with us today. To our listener, if you found value in today's discussion, please go drop Michelle a thank you. We would really appreciate it. Until next time, keep innovating your customer experience. Have a great day, everybody.